It started with an accident in a laboratory more than 4 years ago, but the findings look intriguing, and a new researcher at the University of Hawaii felt compelled to explore the relationship between plastics and greenhouse gases. Sarah Jean Royer talked to us about the science behind the discovery.
Among the seven most commonly used plastic that we tested, we found out that LDPE, low-density polyethylene, was the plastic producing the most of the greenhouse gases, methane and ethylene. And unfortunately, LDPE is the most produced, consumed and discarded in the ocean and in the world, basically, on beaches along the coastline. So this is something that we should remember from this. And most single-use plastic are made out of LDPE. So I guess this is another good reason to find alternatives to using single-use plastic. We should basically stop using these items that we use for a few minutes and then throw away and just go to the grocery store with our own bags, use bottles that we wash and our own cutlery and straw that we can use again and again rather than single-use plastic. So this is one of the things I would like people to remember.
So it really validates then the plastic bag ban.
Yeah. Also, most of the bags are made out of low-density polyethylene. So yeah, it really does make sense to stop plastic production of the bags itself. So the two other members and co-author of the paper, Sarah, Sam, and also our supervisor, Dave Carl, they found this by mistake, and then they ran a few experiments, but at that point, the lab was not studying plastic. But then I came, and I'm also a conservationist, I'm an activist. I was highly interested in the gases from plastic, so I took over the project and I did more and more experiments with their help. And then we just discovered more and more facts about plastic itself producing greenhouse gases, which are, with time, plastic degrades, and also the effect of the sun on the plastic pieces creates these micro fractures and pits. And what it does, it increases the surface area, and then we find more and more methane and ethylene that are being produced with time. So basically, as we speak, plastic is degrading in the environment, and the concentrations of methane and ethylene being emitted from the plastic is even greater, and it will not stop because the plastic is out there in the environment and it's degrading. The production and consumption is nowhere close to decrease in the next 32 years. It's predicted to be increasing. That's the fact, and that's what is happening at the moment.
And so these plastic bags, you know, they end up, well, they're in the landfill, and they're also, you know, washing into the ocean and causing problems. But what about the microplastics that we have just like on the beach, just the pieces of plastic things that have broken into smaller chunks?
Yeah, exactly. So us as oceanographers, I guess we started the experiments in water, in seawater, in milky water. But then after a few experiments, we realized that the production of methane and ethylene is even greater in air than in the water. So we should also focus our effort in air because the concentrations are greater. And also the degradation of these pieces of plastic, for example, we did some tests where we used LDPE as pellets, so the nurdles, the same amount of plastic in powder. We got 488 times more methane produced than when the plastic is under the form of the pellets, which is huge. So this means as surface area is increasing, more and more gases are being produced. So this is like the take-home message is also that, okay, plastic is there, but a bottle of plastic will produce less gases than if the bottle is degraded into smaller and smaller pieces. So this makes the problem even bigger. If we think of the plastic we have in the ocean, it's really hard to get a number. Most of the plastic, we don't know where it goes in the water column. It's being ingested by animals. You have biology living on the plastic, so these biofilms, some of it might sink at the bottom of the ocean, the rest might float. So it's really hard to get a number aware of how much plastic is floating at the ocean and actually being degraded and producing methane and ethylene. And also it's hard to know which type of plastic, because when we go, let's say, at James Campbell National Wildlife Refuge, we see a lot of microplastic, but it's so hard to identify which type of plastic it is, because it's been traveling in the gyres, and most of it came from the fishing industry and also the coast in Asia. So it's really difficult to tell which type of plastic it is, and hence difficult to know the real concentration coming out of it. So we didn't estimate. We tried making estimate, but we didn't have a number that we wanted to put out, because there are too many uncertainties around it.
Makes me wonder about the garbage patch, though, that's floating out there. I mean, how much is that giving off?
Yeah. Again, it's, I would say it's basically the same answer. We don't know what type of plastic is out there. We can guess, we can make estimate, but then some of it floats, some of it sinks. The surface area is different, so we need to take all of this into account, especially when we know that 500 times more methane is emitted from powder plastic than a pellet. So it's important. The difference in number is huge if you don't make the right estimate.
So this is a real kind of building block, though. So you folks have discovered this by accident, and then your research has taken it a step further. What's next?
So I guess what's next, given the fact that it seems that ethylene is being produced 76 times in higher concentration when you look at it in the air than in the water, it's also greenhouse gases. So I feel like the attention now should not be only focused on plastic pollution and the amount of plastic in the ocean, but basically plastic consumption. So everybody in the world has at least a piece of plastic in their hand every day, or plastic in their backyards. And then you think of the landfills, and then you think about all the trash at the beach and the coastline. So we should get a better estimate of the amount of plastic that is actually being hit by the sun every day in air. And then from there on, identify which type of plastic there are, the surface area, and then get a number of the total emissions of methane, ethylene, and all the other gases that are being emitted from the plastic. So I think that's the next step.
How much other research or similar research is being done on this topic?
Actually, at the moment, I don't know any. From as far as we know, and we looked at in the literature review, we didn't find any other studies of greenhouse gases emitted from plastic at ambient temperature and under natural conditions. So I hope some other people will start being interested by this research and continue, given the impact it can have.
So it's really groundbreaking stuff that you folks are doing there at that lab.
Yeah. I mean, it was very surprising, especially for Sarah and someone they discovered first that plastic was emitting the gases they were studying. I think we should always keep in mind that, okay, single-use plastic is truly not a solution. I feel like laws and policies should change, and we should just stop these useless products, because they are so easy to not use. It's just a matter of having better habits when we go to the grocery store, to the restaurant. So I think this will help a lot, and this is through education and outreach and science. So yeah, as a whole, we have to look at this issue as a whole and just try to make it better personally.
That was Sarah Jean Royer talking about her research into the relationship between degrading plastics and greenhouse gases conducted at the UH Seymour Labs, the Center for Microbial Oceanography Research and Education.